down! Put, 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 put!
All Packers, all the time.
He was a field-tilting player, and the reason why Gabe and many others are so concerned is that this guy's on the field, he changes the offensive dynamic. They are a different offense when he is there.
Okay, most of the time.
You know, Homer calls Matt LaFleur soft all the time. Matt LaFleur is like Vince Lombardi compared to me.
It's Jason Wilde on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy.
He is our friend. He is our teammate. He is Jason Wilde. He joins us three times a week on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy. What's up, dude?
Dudes! Mold is bad, dudes. What are we thinking here, Matt?
It's not all bad, though, Jason, right?
No, I think penicillin comes from it, but not the kind that's in your water bottle, you knucklehead.
But what about blue cheese? Are you a fan of blue cheese?
I am not.
Why doesn't anyone like blue cheese?
Well, I take that back. Like, the crumbles, when you have them on, like, a filet. But, like, I'm not going to the blue cheese very often. But, yeah, you're, again, this I deal with this on a very regular basis with your fellow NFL alumnus, Mark Tauscher. Mm-hmm. Like, the gut reaction, the knee-jerk reaction to things he says and the things that you say is always, oh, my God, is this guy an idiot? And then you take a beat and you think about it and you're like, you know what? Not as big of an idiot as I thought. And then the next step is, that's actually a good point. And then the next step is, I think I actually agree with him. But again, blue cheese and penicillin, still a very narrow area of mold that we're going to have to set aside.
Jason, one of the most disgusting things I've ever seen on a football field is in college when you have to play with a mouthpiece. It's the rules, or you get kicked out of the game. And one of our DBs for BC lost his mouthpiece on the field and couldn't find it. And he had a player from the sideline throw him his mouthpiece and he put it in. That is disgusting. That's a little too far. Would you agree?
It's like putting your whole face in the bowl. Yeah, no thanks. I'm going to pass on that. But again, rules are rules. Do you not?
Yes.
So wait a minute. Did you guys not have like backup mouthpieces or like you just assume you're not going to lose something like that?
It was like the end of the half, and he was looking, couldn't find it, and he just ran over to the sideline and told one of the DBs to throw him their mouthpiece so he could stay in the game because they were driving, and
Wow. Yeah, that's pretty gross.
Yep. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
That's worse than one of the tackles that you had to combo block filling his socks?
Yeah. Jason would know who that is, too.
Okay.
Wait, what?
Jason, I'm going to start with the nickname and then just tell me if you know this player or not. We used to call him, because of that, Big Greasy.
Oh, Big Greasy. Now, number I know 60, there was a guy.
Number 68, right tackle.
So, wait, there was a guy named Jerry Kraft.
Yes, it wasn't him.
They called him the Big Creamy.
Big Creamy.
Because he was, I mean, I don't know if it was from his eating habits or just his sheer size. Was he the one who also sat in the back of his car to drive it?
Yes. He took the driver's seat out and sat in the back seat and drove his car. That's how big he was. Jason, JS, this was before Big Creamy. You had to be there.
All right, and he wore 68.
Yeah.
I feel like a failure now. Joe Sims.
There you go. Ding, 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 ding.
Sorry, it took me a while. I don't know how many. Like, that's one of those numbers that, like, I know Gail Gillingham, who was like one of the great offensive linemen, wore it, but. Other than Mike Wall, I don't. Breno Giacomini maybe wore it, but I don't know. There's not many. Yeah. I'm usually pretty good at this game. Not as good as Tim Van Voren, but Yuck! What? In the game he did this?
No, this was practice. So, but still, I had a little on my shoe. And the very few diapers that I'd change, when I'd get a little bit of Duke on my, you know, from my kids on my face, I'd just shake. Because you don't know what to do. You just sit there and go like...
They have those little baby wipes that you just grab one of.
Yeah,
them
but it's on your hands. It's like, ooh. Kind of gross.
Wow. This is really taking a turn, thanks to Joe Sims.
Yeah.
And Joe, we certainly thank you. Jason,
big greasy.
Jason, when are the Packers going to re-sign Brandon McManus?
Great question. Tausch thinks they should franchise tag him.
No, like just come...
$6 million plus next year.
Just come to an agreement. Like it shouldn't be this hard, should it?
Yeah. I did think it was interesting when I talked to Brandon McManus late in the season for a story, and I asked him if he wanted to be back here. He gave kind of one of those non-committal answers. So, obviously the Packers were the team that were willing to sign him after his the allegations of his inappropriate behavior on the flight to London had been resolved, which I think were with some sort of a settlement. But I mean, maybe he doesn't want to be back here, right? Like, or maybe he's just keeping his options open, or maybe he's talking to a reporter that he doesn't trust, because anytime any of us wanted to talk to him, like the first time I went to talk to him one-on-one, he said, well, what do you want to talk about? And I wanted to say, well, I don't want to talk about the plane thing. I want to talk about football. But I said, not what you might be concerned about. I want to think about or talk about. So I don't know, like, my question is, has he rehabilitated his bargaining power with the way he kicked, that he's going to have interest from other teams that also don't have good kickers? And is he going to have an opportunity, I don't know, maybe to kick somewhere closer to where... I mean, his family did not come here. He's got, I think, two or three kids and his wife, and they didn't come here after he signed with the Packers. They came for a couple of weekends to see games, but he didn't want to pull them out of school. And so I don't know. Maybe he's decided, hey, I can still kick in this league, and I want to keep my options open. And on the flip side, we're all sitting there going, hey, Goody, after what you went through with Anders Carlson and the Narv dog, it would probably be great to have a veteran kicker who only missed two kicks after you signed him. But maybe Goody saw him as a temporary solution and he's got something else in mind. Like, it feels like a no-brainer, but maybe it's not.
Jason, is Goody the type of GM that would rather have the window half open for 8 years or all the way open for four?
Oh, first of all, Chewy, I mean, come on. He told us he doesn't believe in windows, which I need to introduce him to Gina Della, clearly. But
he doesn't believe in rebuilds either, because obviously we're never in one under his
right watch. And Aaron Jones will be back, and we're going to re-sign Davante Adams,
yeah,
the Hall of Fame player. And, yeah, so, so take that for what it's worth. But I don't think there's any question he wants a window that is somewhat open for 8 years as opposed to wide open for 4 years. I don't think there's – like the whole concept of draft and develop and the whole way that they approach never going – all in, and I know he would argue that they went all in toward the tail end of the Rodgers era by bringing guys back, but that's not my definition of all in.
Mm-mm.
All in is not only do you bring all your guys back, but then you go out and get a huge piece and you mortgage your cap future and know you're going to have some pain down the road in order to do it, and they've never done that. But you know, you look at what they do. The 2010 title team is the exact proof of what they're hoping for. And by the way, this is not a criticism. Like, I think it's the right way to go because there are so many variables in the postseason. I mean, I saw, as you well know, because you were lying on the
Qualcomm Stadium turf with your face mask in the grass after mm-hmm. that final pass. I saw a far superior team lose the Super Bowl to a bunch of knuckleheads and John Elway, right? I mean,
yeah.
So the 2010 team getting into the playoffs on the final day of the season and needing help to get there and then going on the run that they did, I think that's the Packers' way. It's, hey, we're going to put together a competitive playoff caliber team that we feel good about making the playoffs, and then we're going to hopefully be the team that's hot at the right time, catches a couple breaks, and we're going to win a Super Bowl. And, again, I don't want that to be clipped for social media as if I'm trashing them, because I'm not. I think that's the right way to go, because there are so many instances throughout history where you could say we're going all in and put all the pieces together, and all it takes is one fluky thing, and you will have now mortgaged your future in order to try and go all in that year, and then you don't get it, and now you're screwed for a couple of years. So
yeah, but it really doesn't work, though, Jason, and it hasn't worked for 15 years because Ted was under that same kind of model, and we're kind of spinning wheels here.
Right, but this is the problem. Like, the 2014 team, which obviously Joe Sims is its socks, at the end of that game, like, they belonged in the Super Bowl, right? Yeah. And they had gone, I mean, for them, they had gone, they signed Julius Peppers, who I know was, you know, 33 or 34 when they signed him, but that was the kind of, that was a little all-in-ish for them to do.
That was a
right?
Ron move, though, Jason. Wasn't it a Ron move? Because if you look at Ron, what Ron did, Jason, was, okay, make a big splash, have some young guys, but backfill it with Pro Bowl players. Keith Jackson, multiple Pro Bowls. Eugene Robinson, Pro Bowls. Sean Jones, multiple Pro Bowls. Don Beebe, hell of a guy, hell of a player. You know, he did it that way.
Yeah.
I don't know if I buy into their way of draft development.
I would agree with that. Like, first of all, I still, you know, regardless of how many times Goody tells us that his philosophy is it's a young man's game and you got to play these guys and live through the growing pains. So by the second half of the season, they've grown through those and they're much better players. I understand the philosophy there, but I still believe in veteran players. And I think the perfect example, and this might have been the difference between them advancing in the playoffs this year and not, is they did not have a veteran Bruce Wilkerson type, Jeff Dellenbach type of offensive linemen that when Elgton Jenkins goes down, they had to put two very large, but still essentially in NFL terms, children into the game, right?
Yeah.
Travis Glover, rookie sixth round pick, had played like eight snaps on offense. Then when he fails miserably, they go to Kadeem Telfert, who spent the 2023 season on the practice squad, and I think had played 13 offensive snaps before he had to go in. If they have a guy who has played in the NFL for 8-9 years that can go in there and get you through it and not get a bunch of penalties and get the quarterback killed, they were within 16-10 in the fourth quarter. Yeah. So maybe that kind of move is the, like, maybe you don't have to go all in. Maybe you just have to have a few guys that are outstanding, experienced backups, guys that used to be starters, aren't there anymore, and can go in a pinch and get you through a game and maybe start a couple games if you're missing a guy. And that has not been the Packers' way since Ron retired.
Jason, there are reports that Joey Bosa could be released from the Chargers as a salary cap casualty. Does that feel like the most realistic name you've heard to help the Packers with their pass rush?
Now, he's had injury issues, right?
Correct. Played 14 games, though, in 2024. Played 14 games combined the 2 years previous.
Yeah, that sounds like somebody that Goody's not interested in, right? He doesn't want guys that are breaking down. I would just say this. When we asked Bulaga about him being available, you know, Brian could not be a nicer person. And he really struggled to find a way to not just flat out say, no, I don't think so. So he eventually landed on signing both him and Khalil Mack, which I can fairly confidently say will definitely not occur. I really would like, and Goody's going to talk on Tuesday in Indy, and I'm curious to see what he says, because I wonder how he views that defensive line. Because I keep going back to a quote from his postseason presser in which he basically said that he believes in all those guys, and then they fired the line coach. And it makes me wonder if he thinks that they don't need to do the Max Crosby, Trey Hendrickson, Miles Garrett, Joey Bosa, whatever type big splash signing at that position. And instead, they can go with the guys they have, believe they're going to be better in year two of the system, draft the guy pretty high, and roll like that. I really think there's a distinct possibility that that's his mentality. But again, it doesn't matter what he says. It matters what he does. And if we wake up one morning like we did with Julius Peppers, and there's Max Crosby having taken pictures inside Lambeau Field, and not even Shefty had gotten that, then great. But I'll believe it when I see it.
Jason, is that because he drafted three of the four of them, and he would essentially have to admit that he was wrong, which GMs have a hard time doing?
They definitely do. I mean, other than Ron. Yeah. And the Joey Jameson pick in 2000 when he was standing on the sideline with us. And Joey Jameson, who was drafted purely to be a punt returner, dropping punt after punt after punt. And he turns to us and says, well, I guess I effed up that pick.
That's so awesome.
Which remains one of my favorite Ron Wolf moments. God, I love him. Yes, and he kept him around all the way to training camp, just like when he signed Josh Heupel, my other favorite Ron story. He loved Josh Heupel. And Josh Heupel won a Heisman. Right?
Yeah, Heisman Trophy
somehow.
Winner.
Yeah.
But he was not an NFL quarterback.
No.
And so Ron signs him. And then he goes on a scouting trip, and I think it was during the, I can't remember if it was off-season program, I think so, or maybe it was early in training camp. Must have been the off-season program. And the scouts are like, oh my God, this guy is terrible. Now, he's turned out to be a good coach, and I'm not trying to drag him. But they actually wanted, they said, we have to keep this guy around. Like, they needed to make some sort of roster move. And they didn't make it because they wanted to keep him around so Ron had to watch at a practice how terrible Josh Heupel was before they moved on from him. So he's a Hall of Famer, and I love him to death, but he was not omniscient and perfect.
He said the same thing to me about 10 years after I retired. We were at a reunion dinner, and I was sitting right next to him, and he turns to me and goes, how weren't you a first or a second round pick?
And I'm yeah. like, and that's what he used to always say, right?
You're the GM. You tell me.
But that's what he would always yeah. say when people would ask about, you know, you were a sixth rounder. Timmerman was a seventh rounder. Yeah. Marco was a sixth rounder. What he would yeah. say was, if I was that good at my job, I wouldn't have waited until the sixth or seventh round to draft those guys. I would have seen how good they were and drafted them earlier. Right?
Yeah.
And so,
yeah.
you know, that kind of honesty and ownership, I mean, I love the guy to death, and he's one of the all-time greats, as we well know.
Jason, appreciate it. Look forward to more coming up at 9 o'clock with Wildy and Tausch.
All right, dudes. Appreciate you. Take care. Be good.
See you, dude.
Jason Wildy joins us three times a week here on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy. Right now, you want to be able to take advantage of some of the screaming deals going on at Piggly Wiggly. When it comes to screaming Sicilian Detroit style and stuffed crust pizza, they're on sale right now, just $6.99 at Piggly Wiggly through the 25th. So you still have five more days to take advantage of this. Again, screaming Sicilian Detroit style, if you're unfamiliar, Joshy is a big fan. I'm a big fan. Kind of a lighter, airier crust, even though it's a thicker crust. Comes with its own pan that you make it in the oven with so you can get that caramelized cheese on the crust.
Good stuff.
Oh, it is so good. And then they've got stuffed crust pizza. That needs no explanation. Great screaming Sicilian crust, and then you stuff some cheese in the crust. Yeah, it's going to be great. So get those two, $6.99 right now at Piggly Wiggly through the 25th. Stock up on your faves and taste what all the screaming is about.